When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Athletic Baseball Show for Monday, September 11th. This is On Deck. I'm Stephen Nesbitt, and I'm joined, as always, by Levi Weaver. Levi, how was your weekend?
I made my pitching debut this weekend in Sandlot Baseball, and I came in with the bases loaded and one out in the inning, and I proceeded to get a comebacker to the mound for the first out, grounded to third for the second out. I escaped the jam. I was like, this pitching is actually easy. I don't know what everybody's talking about.
Let's go.
So yeah, that was my my thing. The final line,
the fireman.
Final line was 2 2/3 innings pitch, 10 runs on 8 hits and 7 walks. So, and I would also like to point out that there is a 5-run mercy rule limit per inning. So I, 10 runs over 2 2/3 innings. It did not go well for me after that initial bit of success, but it was fun. I'm not a pitcher, it turns out.
That's good. Well, for those who followed on our last episode, Herdball went well. Little Luke, 2-year-old, got a soccer debut. It went great. We met some new friends. We stayed on the field for most of the time, and we only picked up the ball in their hands every time down the pitch. So we're going to work on that part. But had a good weekend. 2 birthday parties this weekend. Wow. Wow. 2 toddler birthday parties. You can't beat it.
That's a lot.
Levi, what are we going to talk about today?
Oh, yeah. Today we are going to talk about how the Yankees season just keeps just misfiring. Something will happen. You think it's going to be good, and then it's not good. And now Jason Dominguez has a torn UCL. It looks like he's going to need Tommy John surgery. When are we going to evolve as a species into creatures who have UCLs made of pure? We're eating microplastics. Let's just make it out of plastic, make it very strong, durable. But yeah, this is too many UCLs.
They talk about the internal brace procedure. Can we get to a point where that just becomes like a biological thing? Like you are born with an internal brace protecting that. I mean, baseball is important enough that we should really make some strides. Okay, joking aside, a brutal development for the Yankees. If you can, for a moment, Levi, imagine yourself to be a New York Yankees fan and experience Sunday through their eyes.
It's going to take me a minute to get into this mindset.
You're New York Yankees, Levi.
This is a disaster. This is the worst thing to happen in the history of the New York Yankees. Fire Cashman. Fire Girardi. Fire Boone.
Spend more money.
Fire Donaldson. Fire Babe Ruth. Get them all out there, bums. It's over. It's over. Bums.
Did it good? Do it good?
Donaldson gone. Don't worry. You got him gone. So 8 no-hit innings from Corbin Burns. And they had nothing going. Absolutely nothing going. The Yankees had lost the series already. We're trying not to get swept. And they get no hit through 9 innings, through 10 innings. And in the 11th inning, Oswaldo Cabrera breaks the no-no with a game-tying RBI single, sends it to the 12th inning. Giancarlo Stanton ties it with a homer in the 12th inning to send it into the 13th inning, retied. And Kyle Higashioka, the backup catcher. Now, he's no longer Gerrit Cole's personal catcher and is not even the guy getting the majority of the reps out there. Now with some developmental time for the Yankees, he walks it off, dog pile, good times, until we get to the postgame press conference and Aaron Boone announces Jason Dominguez, the 20-year-old from the Dominican, who has been hyped since he was 16 years old, drawing debut week comps to one Mickey Mantle, if you've ever heard of him. Debuted just over a week ago, went 8-for-31 with 4 homers and a stolen base. The youngest player since at least 1901 to homer 4 times in his first 7 games. AL Player of the Week. All good things, except now, sort of the post-mortem, we look back and see Jason Dominguez had an injured elbow over a week ago. So basically, right when he got to the majors. He said after the game, felt some discomfort in his right elbow after the September 3rd game. Mind you, we are on September 10th as we speak, so exactly a week later. It was something that was bothering him, but he was able to play through it. He hit 3 of those 4 homers after he got that injury, and he just kind of got worse and worse. It sounded like stiffened up, got difficult to play through, and then he took batting practice on Sunday and just didn't have the pop, the oomph that he normally had. They decided to scratch him, get some imaging done, And that's when fans found out after the game the scratching was not, you know, an ankle sprain during batting practice. It was not the stomach flu. It was not even the right elbow inflammation that they had mentioned when he was scratched. It was, in fact, a torn UCL. He's going to need Tommy John surgery. He said he's going to get it as soon as possible. And that usually carries with it 9 or 10 months, Levi. It was a typical return for a position player. It's been done quicker. Bryce Harper came back, and I think it was 6. But that's also coming back just to be a DH. Dominguez probably lined up to be the opening day center fielder for the Yankees in the post-Harrison Bader era here. And instead, the conservative guess, probably All-Star break next year is when they're going to have the Martian back. And that's just a huge bummer because obviously they're playing with a string here. Their goal here is to be a 500 team because they haven't been below 500 since 1992, if you followed, which was way before Jason Dominguez was born. So the one thing they had to play for was developmental time and let this guy get a bunch of run, get 5 weeks of a chance for him to show off what he can do, have pitchers adjust to him, have him adjust to pitchers. And now it's, well, you had a great week, but what's now? You know, what next? What now? And now you're not going to see him to the middle of the next season when they certainly were going to compete, be part of this. And you got to figure out something in center field again. It's a real mess for the Yankees.
I want to be careful how I phrase this because I'll just preface it with I don't know anything about what it means to be a team head physician or trainer or anything. This is the second one of these this year that we've seen, though, where, you know, Anthony Rizzo had concussion problems and he just played for weeks and months, I think, until they kind of circled back and went, actually, this concussion from a while ago is still affecting you. Now we've got Jason Dominguez, who had a torn UCL for over a week, and he was just playing through it. It's very possible that I'm just speaking out of ignorance here, and that's a normal set of circumstances to happen. I really don't know, but that is a question that pops up in my mind, and I'm sure that there are listeners who are smarter than me who will be able to speak to that. But yeah, I mean, you know, that aside, it's just crappy for Yankees fans. And, you know, listen, it's going to be very difficult for me to feel sorry for Yankees fans. They've had a lot of now really young Yankees fans. If you're, you know, 15 years old or younger, I feel sorry for you. I'm sorry that this is happening to your team, that they keep promising to be good and then not. And I'm sorry that your football team, the Dallas Cowboys, also keeps promising to be good and then not. But yeah, I mean, you know, any Yankees fan over the age of about 25, I don't feel that bad for them. They've gotten to see their team succeed. So nobody feels bad for you. Just suck it up and yell about it.
For tonight's exercise includes you in that camp. Over 25, I think?
Barely.
So we're going to see what happens there. At the moment, the headline on MLB.com reads, "From nearly no hit to no quit." Doesn't quite feel that rosy, MLB.com, at the moment, but I get it. The Yankees are, like I said, playing out the string. But Gerrit Cole shoved again on Sunday. He's likely on his way to his first Cy Young. 4 or 5 starts left. He's going up against Sonny Gray there. Currently 13-4, 2.79 ERA in 30 starts, 204 strikeouts in 87 innings. Great news there. Bad news in the form of Luis Severino getting hurt after a really awful season. So the Yankees would like the season to be over, please. And they'd like to be somewhere in the 500s winning percentage, please.
Let's take a look at our series of the week. Let's start with you, Steven. Who you got?
Well, I always go with the fish. So I'm going with the fish. Mostly, to be honest, I'm going with Miami at Milwaukee because it's a 4-game series that has some playoff implications. Now, the Milwaukee Brewers still in first place, 79-63 at time of recording here Sunday night. They just took 2 or 3 from the Yanks, almost swept it. As we mentioned, almost no hit them. They're 3 up on the Cubs. So pretty comfortable here because I think the Cubs are still 2 up in the wild card. So that makes 5 games there. The Brewers are safe. And so I feel good about their standing. It's just more of, do they get that first place? Do they get the wild card? But Christian Yelich has been out the last 2 games with lower back soreness. You don't love that. But the implications come much more on the Marlins side. They are a half game out of the wild card. They just took 2 or 3 from the Phillies. Close games throughout on Sunday. Ranger Suarez of the Phillies took a no-no into the 7th. The Marlins broke through later on. Brian De La Cruz hit the go-ahead 2-run homer, I believe it was. Listen, the Marlins are figuring out somehow. They just lost Sandy Alcantara for the season, strained flexor. They lost Jorge Soler for some time with a strained oblique. They are still 8-2 in spite of that in their last 10. They do not have a lot. Our fish are not blessed with a lineup like the Phillies, but they have Jake Berger who can do damage, Luis Arraez who can get on base better than anybody in baseball, Josh Bell, who's gotten better since coming over to Miami, Jazz Chisholm, he can steal, he can homer, he can play D, he can do everything once healthy. Jesus Sanchez can hit the long ball. And the rotation, even without Sandy Alcantara, the reigning Cy Young champ, Jesus Luzardo has been fantastic. Yuri Perez has been great. Braxton Garrett's been much better than a lot of people expected. And then you toss in Edward Cabrera, total like lottery ticket right now. He's walking way too many people. Listen to the Friday show with Keith Law to hear more about him. And then Johnny Cueto is their number five right now. It's going to be an interesting run the rest of the way, and I think this series goes a long way in determining if the Marlins can sneak into that playoff picture. The way it lines up, before I hand it off to you, Levi, Burns went on Sunday, so that means Brandon Woodruff goes Monday against Jesus Luzardo. Tuesday, Freddy Peralta, Edward Cabrera. Game three is Colin Ray against Braxton Garrett, and Wade Miley in the finale against Yuri Perez. It's going to be a good one. I almost feel like I lean, but the way the matchups line up, I almost lean Marlins in this one.
So let's see, a series on a team that you've talked about pretty frequently before. It's a four-game series with playoff implications. If that's the theme, I'm going to stick with it because the Rangers and the Blue Jays are also playing a four-game series. The Rangers are currently... Oh, yeah, and that team is a half game out on the wild card. The Rangers are a half game out in the wild card right now after their precipitous decline in the month of September. The vibes have been real bad in Texas lately. Currently, Toronto is in the second wildcard position. They're a game up. So at time of air, actually, it'll be the same because these teams have all played already. The Blue Jays are 80-63. The Mariners are 79-64. And the Rangers are 78-64. Now, the Rangers and Mariners are going to play seven more games before this season is over. So they can handle their business between each other. But between the Rangers and the Blue Jays right now, this is a very important series. The Blue Jays are 8-2 in their last 10 games. The Rangers are 3-7. I think if you want to talk about momentum, the momentum is definitely in favor of the boys north of the border. I took a look at kind of the who's hot, who's not, which is always my favorite thing to do on these. Davis Schneider with 63 plate appearances. He's got a 1406 OPS with five home runs over the last 30 days. Brandon Belt, 61 plate appearances, 1006 OPS, six home runs. Danny Jansen, only 38 plate appearances in the last month, 1094. Meanwhile, the Rangers have two guys that have been absolutely on fire and with a much, well, it's significantly higher sample size as well. Mitch Garver, 101 plate appearances, 1107 OPS with nine home runs. Corey Seager, 120 plate appearances, 968 OPS, has hit 10 home runs in his last 30 days. That man is playing with his hair on fire. The rest of the team, not so good. They just lost Adolis Garcia to a knee injury. They don't know if he'll be back before the end of the season. So, hey, here comes super prospect Evan Carter. Nathan Eovaldi is back to the bullpen now. Is back in the rotation now. That sends Andrew Heaney to the bullpen. And then I took a look at the pitching. Yusei Kikuchi has continued to be very good. Bowden Francis, great out of the bullpen. The last month, he's got a almost 12 K per nine and a 0.69 walk per nine. Here's my fun little stat, though. I have a list of Texas Rangers pitchers who, over the last 30 days, have a worse ERA than Austin Hedges. Austin Hedges, of course, is the Rangers' third or fourth catcher. He's also, he had to pitch mop-up in two consecutive games for the Rangers when they were getting blown out against the Astros. Here are the pitchers who have a worse ERA than Austin Hedges in the last 30 days. Will Smith, that's their closer. Dane Dunning, that's one of their starting pitchers. Glenn Otto, he's been designated for assignment. Nathan Eovaldi, he's a starter. Brock Burke, who was one of their top bullpen arms last year. And Josh Sports, who's kind of, you know, hit and miss as far as whether he's hot or cold, but he's definitely been cold lately. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, in these blowout games, a catcher comes in. Sometimes the batters are taking it kind of easy. Everybody's ready to go home. He's got a zero ERA because he pitched two innings, right? Wrong. He has a 6.75 ERA, which is pretty good for a catcher. You do not want to have six prominent pitchers on your team with a worse ERA than your fourth string catcher when that ERA is 6.75. The pitching has been atrocious in Texas lately. It's not great. You know, until Texas proves otherwise, you got to think that the Blue Jays are going to take advantage of this one, put some distance between themselves and the Rangers. But, you know, baseball's baseball. It turns on a dime. You never know.
You know, it seems like we come down to the last game of the year. Some race is decided by one game, two games, something really tight, and you start to look back at where were the difference points, inflection points in the season where we could have stolen a game. And you know what? The Blue Jays are going to look at Sunday as a game they stole because they were facing Cole Ragans, who's been fantastic for the Royals since coming over in the Aroldis Chapman trade from the Rangers. And did you see what happened, Levi?
I did not.
So in this one, Ragans is dealing. Gets into the, I think it was a seventh inning, shutting out the Blue Jays. And he gets a flyout, a strikeout. So he gets two outs here. I'm looking at the play-by-play. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. walks. Davis Schneider walks. And then we get three consecutive wild pitches. And these weren't even close. The first one, he airmails it to like top of the netting and he falls over while doing it. Second one, he throws it about head height on the catcher, again gets past the catcher. Third one, same deal, falls over as he's like planting his foot, airmails it to the backstop. Two runs score, they tie it up, and the Blue Jays end up running away with this one too, or not even running away, it's a 5-2 loss. But he gets pulled after that third wild pitch. Alejandro Kirk walks on that one. He'd seen all the wild pitches. And I haven't seen anything post-game of it. Was he injured? Anything like that. But that's how the Blue Jays came away with a win on Sunday.
The joke answer was, ha ha, trade me, Rangers, I'll show you. The real answer is, I hope he's not injured. Because that seems, when you start seeing that, that's usually an indication that something's wrong. Best of luck to Cole Ragans.
Yeah, and the guy's dealt with a ton of injuries. You don't want to see that two-time Tommy John guy have any more setbacks. But again, so far I haven't heard anything of the sort. The other series I want to shout out before we move on quickly, Tampa Bay has a big series here against Minnesota. Tampa Bay 3 back at the Orioles for first place and a wild card bye. That's kind of why that one's important. All right, Levi, moving on to the On Deck Arcade. Got a lot to run through, so it was a spicy week in the arcade. So the arms race results, we each picked a starter, go head-to-head, grab the game score 2.0, which combines a lot of different factors of what makes a good baseball pitching outing, and puts them into one tidy stat. So you picked Andrew Abbott of the Cincinnati Reds, the rookie, against the Cardinals. He went 4 innings, 4 hits, 6 runs, 1 homer, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts for a 30 game score 2.0. Just a reminder, if you are not a regular listener, game score 2.0 basically starts at 40. They give you 40 for just kind of getting off the mat and throwing your first pitch. And so he gets a 30, so he went backward. I picked Spencer Strider, so a layup for me. Strider against the Pirates. I even said, if he doesn't go on Sunday, can you maybe give me a Charlie Morton mulligan? Well, the good news for you is that neither of them started. I did not have a pitcher throw a ball this weekend. Spencer Strider was sick. They pushed him to Wednesday and had Alan Winans go on Sunday. And Charlie Morton, they decided to push him to Monday. So I'm going to take a big old zero here, Levi.
Wait, so do you not get credit for Strider's start on Wednesday then?
No, it's not on the weekend. This arms race is a weekend game.
Okay.
The other reason is I'm down 14-4 now, so it really doesn't matter. I'm just going to take a zero for the Spencer Strider game. That's a shame.
Andrew Abbott going out and just completely throwing a garbage outing. Got it. I'll take it. A win's a win.
I could have picked like a reliever who threw one pitch, you know. I've never thought of doing that, but that really would have been an idea. Okay, moving on to the homer chase. Again, this is our cumulative total across the season. We pick a guy, have him for a week, see how many homers he gets us, and add it all to the bucket. You picked Julio Rodriguez. I picked Jose Ramirez. Jose Ramirez gave me 1, and Julio Rodriguez gave you 5, Levi. Big,
that's
big
a new record
week for
me.
J-Rod. Yeah. Biggest week I think we've had all season.
I'm just trying to look this up. Did either of us have a week that big so far?
You started the season with He had 4, and then Christian Walker gave you 4. I've never gotten more than 3 in a week.
So this is a new record. New record 5. Wow.
New record for the pod. We'll be sending him something special for his work. Levi, you just took the lead, 27-26. So this is really coming down. Unlike arms race, this is something to keep track of as it goes on the stretch. So because of that, I'm going to go ahead and take first pick, and this name is fresh on the top of my head for this coming week. I'm taking Luis Robert. I had to get the White Sox off the list at some point, and he's pretty good matchups here. He's at home against the Royals and at home against the Twins. Twins have a good rotation, but maybe I can steal a homer here or there. He has 35 homers, none in September, but to be honest, there aren't a whole lot of options left on my list of teams that I haven't picked yet. So Luis Robert is going to give me maybe another 4.
Okay, it'll be the Battle of Chicago then, because I haven't picked a Cubs player yet. They are in Colorado for the first half of the week, so give me Cody Bellinger. Let's see what he does. 3 games in Colorado. He's got then three in Arizona, which Arizona's got pretty good pitching. So maybe, you know, we'll see. We'll see about it. But yeah, Cody Bellinger, that's my pick for this week.
Yeah, it's two nice parks. I feel pretty good about that for you. All right, let's see how that one goes. Time for us to hit the exits. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Brian for producing today's show. You can find our work all week long at theathletic.com. Great time to sign up for The Athletic. Summer sale ongoing. Subscribe to The Athletic for $1 per month for the first year at theathletic.com/baseball show. That sale will be over very soon. Sign up for The Windup, The Athletic's daily baseball newsletter with Levi and Ken Rosenthal for absolutely free. Coming up next in your feed, Starkville, Jason Stark and Doug Glanville. We'll have Blue Jays broadcasters Dan Schulman and Buck Martinez on as guests. You're not going to want to miss that one. Give us a follow on Twitter. Levi is at 32EFIS, and I'm at Stephen J. Nesbitt. Go Lions. We'll be back on Thursday with more of What's on Deck.
Bye.